God for the good testifying. Amen. I'll look in Matthew 6 tonight if you've got a Bible. I've been reading the Sermon on the Mount. Been reading about it. Jesus speaking to his disciples and the others that were there. He set them apart and talked to them, give them these truths. And I figure if he give this early in his ministry to these men, that we need to know it too. And live by it. There are some things that God put down here in the Scripture that is very important. I'm sad in the day of what I see in what's going on as far as in what we'd say the church world. People's merchandising the church, and they've made it like that. They've merchandised the church. They make it a business. They make it a money-making business. It's sad, but it's true. And preachers and ministries, they put them on the map, you know. And I would to God tonight that we'd just not be what we are by the grace of God. And I tell you, it takes a long time in your Christian life to figure it out that we're not anything but by the grace of God. And I see this more in my life now. I guess from some of the struggles that I go through in my inward man, I see it is God all the way, and nothing good about me. And I thought this afternoon, you know, the Lord, amen, when he got down to this thing, he, thank God, amen, just put it where it was. I mean, he just put it where it was. Amen. He said, thank God, amen, that he didn't come. Thank God to be ministered to, but he came to minister. That's what the Lord said. And that was what he came for. He came to minister. And that's God's will for us. And I say this before and I'll say it again. I think the best title a man can have is the child of God. And second would be servant. That would be the top two things, I think, in the Scripture. That's not what people want. They take all high titles today and take a lot of things today. And we'll have prayer after I get through here tonight, and I'll read some prayer requests, and we'll pray again. But I want you to look at verse 1. He said, take heed. That's an important word there. And it's a charging type thing. You know, take heed to this. Be cautious and be alert and attentive. And listen that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Alms was a free will giver, a free will giving of, amen, of offerings, and they give them to the poor and needy. And it was that way, and they done that on a regular basis. And listen, they never gave just to give. They gave for a purpose. That's the whole reason that they gave. They gave for a purpose, and they knew, too, God would bless their giving. But at the same time, it was specific. Amen. In the Scripture, even the Scripture says about remember giving to the poor, taking care of the poor. And it's basically what he's saying here. You need to take heed that you don't do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So he's getting down to the very motive of why we do things. And I know we've talked about that before, but it's the sort of work. It's not the size of the work. It's the sort of the work. It's the very inward motive of your heart and why we do these things. And it's good to check our heart out. The Bible said, examine yourselves. And listen, everything works from here. The inward man, the heart of man, the heart. It's not the organ beating in yours, the inward man. It's the inward life in you. Amen. And listen, the Bible said, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. So he's saying here that it's not to be done before men. It's not to be seen of men. There's some things that men's going to see, but this is not what you do it for. You do it for the glory of God. And that's why he said, let your light so shine before men that they what? May see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so it's all about glorifying God. That's the thing. And it is the blessings of God tonight. Notice this here in verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So the reward comes from the secret. Amen. It comes from that place of not doing it to be seen, but doing it, thank God, from your heart, and then doing it, amen, not to get a pat on the back, so to speak. We don't have to sell sound our trumpet. You know, it's amazing to me how everybody today, brethren, listen, God did never tell me, amen, to merchandise a church. Amen. Or and they've turned this thing over, friend. They've made their ministry and their church. They've made it like it's some set up business. And it's not like that. This is an organism. This is not, amen, this is a body of Christ. This is born again people. This is where, thank God, we meet together in the body. Amen. And that's what it's about. It's about worshiping Him. It's about magnifying Him. It's about doing what He said as we come together in the spirit that we might make much of Christ. Well, the Spirit would never magnify man. He'd always magnify the Savior. He'd always magnify Him and who He is. Amen. Listen, God, I believe that's why we're missing the boat today. Amen. We put so much confidence in man. Amen. And not put our confidence in God. He said it's better to trust in the Lord than in the man. Amen. For man will fail you. There's nothing a man. Amen. Listen, he don't have what you need. Amen. That's right. But he might have it in his heart. Amen. That God does through him. But listen, that'll be God that does it. It's not us. We're a temple. We're a vessel. We should be under honor and not to dishonor. And we ought to please him in the way we go. Amen. Well, listen, I ought not preach to be seen of men, even though your visible eyes can see me. It ought to be about the Holy Spirit using the word to help you, to teach you and mature you. It takes a mature man, thank God, to want to do it only to glorify God. Amen. And not to glorify man. And listen, if you do it for that, thank God it'll work. Because it's all what he said. Notice what he said here in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as a hypocrite. So a hypocrite was a theatric or a play actor, somebody just pretended or put this on. He said, notice, hypocrites are, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may what? Be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. He's telling these disciples that, and the followers of Christ, that this is not what we are. We don't go out, amen, to make a public show to get attention to us. Amen. We don't, that's not the purpose. We don't do that to get attention to us. We come, thank God, and do it because we love God. Notice, but when thou prayest, enter the closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So he's saying that the praying that God's really going to reward openly is the praying behind the door. It's something that just you and God are in. Amen. That's why he said go in your closet. I don't think that literally means you have to go in to a closet, but he's saying get along with me. Amen. Pray, thank God, in secret. And he said, I reward thee openly. And then he said in verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, amen, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So it's not how much you say, amen, when you pray, it's where it comes from. It's what's on your heart. It's how you pour your heart out. It's not just going through a vain repetition. Amen. That's why a lot of these places, amen, they just go through traditional repetitions every week, and it's dead. It has nothing in it. It's got to be from the heart. That's why we got to have this heart right. Amen. We're not doing it, thank God, for amen, to go through a religious routine or a religious repetition. That's what a lot of places are. They're just religious repetition. Amen. Somebody said, I hadn't changed in 50 years. God have mercy. Amen. God don't change, but he changes us. Amen. I've changed, brother. Listen, ain't God not changed in the way that the scripture says, but I have changed. God has shown me some things. Ain't God know long as I've been saved. Amen. I ought to have something. I ought not be on the bottle. Amen. Ain't God, I ought to be eating food. Amen. That's right. The Corinthian believers, they're still on the bottle. He had to feed them milk. Amen. Brother, listen, I need some food. Praise God. I don't need no milk. Amen. I don't need, thank God, the Holy Ghost giving me a milk bottle. Amen. I need some food. I need something on my plate. And listen, there's some that can't take it. He said you can't bear it over there in the Corinthian believers because they're so caught up on what preacher that's following. Amen. Walking as men and thought this was what it was. Amen. I can feed myself. You know that? I mean, I can sit down and feed myself from the scripture. Amen. I've got the author of the book with me. Amen. This is the only book every time you read it, if you got God in you, the author's with you. Amen. And listen, if you wrote a book, amen, you'd be the best one to read it to me and tell me about it. Amen. Because you wrote it. Amen. Amen. Listen, the Holy Ghost authored this book, and He knows how to tell you about it. Amen. And I thank God for that. I was talking to Brother Jeremy Yokely. He's preaching a little meeting in Proud Mayo, and he called me yesterday afternoon. He said, "What you think about that verse over there?" He said that we need to give an answer of the hope of life in us. He said, "What do you think all that means?" I said, "Well, I've heard people preach about it, and I've read it myself, but I'm not going to give you no quick answer, amen." I just wanted to see what he's going to say too, because I had read it in a little bit. Amen. But he called me this morning. He said, "I'll tell you what I preached last night." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I pray Jesus is the answer." And I said, "You ain't going to beat that one." Amen. He is the answer. Amen. And brother, tonight, He's the answer for all things. Amen. Listen. Thank God, He is the answer tonight. And He's the way, the truth, and the life. And brother, tonight, I'm glad for that. He said, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Amen. I'm glad God knows my need tonight. But He don't want me living, thank God, to be seen of men, have a name amongst men. Amen. He's more concerned about my motive. Amen. And why I do what I do. Amen. When it comes down to it, brother, listen. It ain't Brother Robert thinking up here as an action from here. It's just an act of God. God does that in you. Listen. When you get to singing, there's an act of God in you. It says, "Hey, I know that. I love it. It's just God. I don't think I gotta do this. I don't think I gotta do that." It's just the Holy Ghost in a man that flows to him. Amen. That uses him. Ain't God, no matter what it is. Hey, friend, listen. Ain't God, it ain't about my friend learning. Ain't God, it's about him teaching us. Amen. He'll teach you, you'll learn some things. Amen. A lot of people so caught up in religious action and seen a man. I've got to do this. Amen. I've got to dress a certain way. Men might approve me. Or I've got to listen. I've got to do it a certain way. I got to say these certain things. That's bondage, friend. If I can't be who God made me, I can't be who God wants me to be. Because God didn't make but one of you. And God sure didn't make but one of me. And like my grandma said, thank God when my grandpa was living, she said, "Honey, when they made him, when God brought him in the world, the mold broke." Amen. That's right. That really did on all of us. Ain't another one of you. Amen. That's right. Be who you are. God wasn't getting no glory. Ain't God, listen, out of my life, if I didn't be who I was, I can't be nobody else. I tried it a time or two, but it never did work. Hey, I'm telling you, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to do it in how God made you. Amen. That's right. Ain't but one man, listen, ain't but one Robert Parker. That's it, period. That's right. There ain't another person like you on earth. There ain't another person like you on earth. There might be some, thank God, look like you. In the Parker family, you look like your daddy. Amen. Them pictures he had on the wall there and them service pictures. Amen. But brother, that's Brother Shirley and him, thank God. Amen. Listen. Amen. They got some likenesses, but they're two different people. Amen. Isn't it amazing how you can be Brother Todd? Amen. Me and Rusty come from the same mother. But brother, there's a lot of difference. It's just the way God made it. Amen. Amen. That's just the way it is. God put a personality in you. Listen, Andrew talking the first time I met him. Amen. We went up here to Bojangles. I was holding back a little bit. Amen. On myself, because I didn't want to use his personality because I thought I need the Holy Ghost to speak to me. And Andrew went up here to Bojangles. These older ladies sitting at a table. Amen. Went over there, and when he walked in, he said, "How y'all doing today?" He said, "God bless bless y'all. Talked to them a little while. Went to the next table. And I thought to myself, that's what I'd like to do. And that's what I usually do. But I hadn't been doing it. So when he come to the table, I said, brother, I sure appreciate you doing that. He said, oh, yeah. I said, my personality's that way. But I've been kind of holding back on it. He said, why would you want to do that? God made you like that. Amen. That's how God wants to use you. Amen. That's right, ain't it? Thank God, friend. Listen. Amen. Be who you are. You ought not be nobody else. Thank God you can't be nobody else. Thank God. Listen. Every brick in this building, brother, listen. Thank God fits the spot that is in. Amen. Can't fit no other spot. One right hand can't be the left hand. You can't. He said, don't let the right hand and left hand know what they're doing. Amen. Listen, they'll compete with one another. I've seen that, haven't you? Amen. I've done a little bit of it. Amen. That's one of the damnable things in my flesh. Amen. I've tried my best and God's helping me with it. Amen. Is this competition? I don't want to compete with nobody in a church world. But brother, that's in my blood since I was a kid. Amen. To compete with people in sports and things like that. And brother, it can turn over in your life. There's nothing to it. Amen. Listen. What about competing? It only builds your ego. Amen. So all it does is build your ego. If you really think about it, why would I want to whoop that man in a game of sports? Well, number one, it's in me to go try to win. But number two, it builds my ego. Makes me better than them. And what's that? That's pride. Really, if you get down to it. Amen. That's just the way it is. I mean, you can have a... That's right. Amen. People compete. They compare one another. You sit and compare yourself, right hand, left hand, compare one another. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. You compare with somebody else in the church. People compare with one another what they have. They compare with, listen, friend, I'm telling you tonight, thank God, that's not one of my weaknesses, and I don't want to say that the devil jump on me. But listen, I don't know what anybody's got hardly. I don't pay no attention to it. I told Nathaniel tonight we was talking about cars. Amen. And we was talking, I don't know how we got on about people, what they drive. I said, if they give me a paper, amen, and told me to write beside every name of the church member what car they drive the church, I couldn't do it all. Amen. Because I don't pay no attention to it. I don't mean this in a bad way, but it don't matter to me. I don't care if they drive a mail truck. It don't matter. Amen. It's just the way it is. I care about God blessing you, I'm not in this thing of comparing our John got our GM got. Thank God our Ralph got this. Amen. I need to go get me that. Amen. That's right. You can get in covetousness like that. And brother, get in debt like that. Amen. I'm trying to get out of debt, not get in it. Amen. But I'm telling you, listen, God ain't in this thing of us comparing one another. Thank God, if you do, you're unwise. Amen. Amen. You're unwise, friend. Right. I can't be who I am. I can't do but what I can do. But listen, if you look at your right hand and look at your left hand and they start comparing, or this man gave more, or this person done more, then they look to them people and brag on that hand more than they would the other hand. And that ain't right, Sister Robinson. I mean, the thing of it is, you can only do what you can. And that's between you and God, friend. It ain't between you and me. It ain't between me and you. It's between you and God. Amen. Listen, I've heard people stand up and say they read their Bible through every year. Amen. For the last 60 years, and I'm glad for them, but I hadn't. Amen. That's right. I don't read the Bible like that. I read it, thank God, on my own system and schedule. And what I feel like God can give me. I've read the Bible through. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I say amen, do it. But the whole thing is, get something while you're doing it. Let the Holy Ghost feed you. What if he bogs you down? Ain't God a month. Amen. In one chapter of the Bible. Ain't God stay with it. Amen. I mean, we can't get in these systems. Amen. The God that, my friend, that keeps people in bondage instead of liberty. Amen. These seen them in. I got to do this. They might ask me there. I read my Bible all the way through this year. I'd be honest. I'd say, no, I ain't read it through. I've read it though. Praise God. Amen. They ain't got nothing. Listen, bondage is legalism that tries to get you to conform to an image that they set up in their own mind and what they believe, brother, that you've got to do to stay right with God. I'm going to tell you, listen to me tonight. I'm going to give you some profound truth tonight. Listen to me. There'll nobody's right with God unless it's through Jesus Christ. Nobody will stay right with God unless it's through Jesus Christ. The Jews looked at him and he said, hey God, he said, I come to give life abundantly. That's what he said. He said, the thief come about for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come to give life and more abundantly. Hey, thank God, that's right. And that abundant life is something that abounds in you. Listen, hey God, and he got to looking at that thing and he went through, I'm the good shepherd and all that. Amen. They got down there and they want to stone him, friend. Thank God, because, amen, he said who he was. They said, you're a blasphemer. Amen. He said, my works testify of who I am. You might not believe what I say, but believe what I do. Amen. Thank God. He said, my sheep know it. My sheep know who I am. My sheep follow me. My sheep hear what I say. Thank God. He said, I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Is there any man pluck them out of my hand? Thank God, he gives us that. And brother, that's a gift from God. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. I bless the Lord for it. Thank God. Amen. But I ain't comparing. Listen, it's not wise to compare churches. It ain't wise. In fact, he said ultimately there's one fold. It's one fold, one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. What do you think about this church? It's his. It's his. I don't own it. If I did, if I died now, whose would it be then? Amen. I don't own this. You're the church. I don't own you. Praise God, I'm in a position God put me in to preach and pastor. Amen. I'll do it as long as he tells me. And if he tells me that's enough, thank God, I know he'll do something else with me. Amen. But listen, I don't own these people. I don't own these sheep. Amen. I don't own you. You as much, amen, a member of the house of God here than I am. Amen. Love him. Thank God. They said, I went to his church. I thought, praise God, this is his church. I'm just part of his church. I mean, you're as much the church here as I'm the church here. Somebody said, bless his ministry. Thank God he's already blessed it. He called me. Amen. If I do the will of God, don't matter what the result looks like in a man's eyes. He said, don't go sound your trumpet. I hear all these people say, we had all these people saved. Amen. We had all this number of people. What's that mean? That's between you and God. Why would I have to sound the trumpet before everybody and let them listen? I see some people, they couldn't go do nothing without saying something about it. I mean, that's taking away everything. Listen, he don't need no advertisement. The advertisement's the Holy Ghost. Amen. In us and through us and what he does. Amen. Justin, thank God, got saved. And brother, he's been testifying. Amen. Listen, he ain't doing it, thank God, in the spirit that I feel. Amen. That he might get approval of height. He's doing it because God done it for him. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Amen. I've done that stuff before when I was a young preacher. Amen. Hey, you know, they said, boy, that old boy there's on fire for God. You know, they say stuff like that, and all that does is get you to get in the flesh a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. I remember preaching at Brother Millie's camp meeting. I remember the very first time I preached, we went up there in the early, about the mid-90s. And me and Brother Keith, Brother Hobson, he called on us to get up and say something that morning. God, I got up there and used that Psalm 40. Son, I mean, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I mean, I preached, son. I mean, God helped me. It was just God helping me. And Brother Milby said, I'm going to have you preach at night. That's what he said. I got up there, and buddy, when I got up there, it wasn't nothing because I was doing it in the energy of the flesh to try to please man and try to give him a message. I mean, it wasn't nothing. I mean, and I'm going to tell you this tonight. I believe this in my heart, and I think I've arrived there. I look at you tonight, and I can tell you this, that I am not nothing apart from the grace of God.
That's right.
I'm nothing tonight. I think sometimes if you'd hear me talk, and I'm honest as I can be, I think I'm the worst man on the ground. I mean, I said unto God, I can't preach. I mean, I can't do nothing right. I mean, why in the world would you even put up with me? Amen. That's right. Why? God, why? I mean, in the psalmist said, what is man thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man thou visits him? I mean, what am I, brother? Listen. Ain't God, Paul said, I'm a wretched man. He knew what he was on the inside. Without the grace of God, we're nothing tonight. We got to have heaven to help us. When you submit to that, thank God it'll pull on you. Amen. You get up and think I know it or I can do it. You didn't get no blessing out of that. If you get up and say, well, I can sing better, I can preach better, I can teach better, I can do this and that. Brethren, you about to fall. He that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. A man falls more in his positive thinking of himself than anything else. He said, don't go sound the trumpet out there. Don't go tell everybody what you've doing, what you've been doing. I'm not saying that you can't fellowship with somebody and enjoy the good fellowship and say, look, I've read this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about wanting to be a superstar for God. I know some preachers like that. I can't get around it. It just aggravates me to death because I know within me that I'm nothing. It's the grace of God. It's not me. And they want to put themselves out there and you think they superstars and they'll put their sunglasses on top of their head and their button undone and everything else and get out there and give some interview. And I think, under God, are you a football player or a preacher? Amen. I mean, God called me to preach. I don't need that kind of stuff. Amen. Listen, ain't God friend, we ought to be on our knees and humble. Amen. And say, I need you, Lord. Amen. He don't need us to advertise for him. Thank God. He said, let the Holy Ghost lift till you shine for me. That men might see me and glorify me. And brethren, when we get this thing about being seen of men, thank God we missed the boat. Amen. You ever thought about this? Listen, we all got some of this. I don't care who you are. But you ever, this little old girl here, she's a pretty little thing. But she'll probably say, Mommy, look at me. Mommy, look at me. 2 years old. Mommy, look at me. You ever wonder why people, praise God, you see them out on the road running, I mean on the traffic, where the traffic is. And there's a neighborhood there beside the traffic they could run in. They want somebody to look at them. I thought, why are they running out here, man? I'm about to run over them. Man, there's a track down the road. There's a neighborhood over here. You running out on the main road. Half naked, too. God have mercy. You ought to put some clothes on. If you're going to run, thank God, beautify America. Amen. Put a shirt on. Praise God. Amen. That's the way I think about it. And then these big old... getting out mowing their grass. Take their shirt off. God have mercy. Pitiful. You say, I wonder why they do that. I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to show something. That's right. Amen. You know why? Listen. You know what? You ever notice this too? It's just the way it is. I've done it when I was young.
Yes.
Brother Shank probably did too. I ain't going to call you on it. I don't know it. But when you was lifting weights, you'd wear them shirts so somebody could see your arm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, tight shirts, cut off shirts. Ain't that right? Why do people do that? They want to be seen. They want to be seen. That's right. Because here, you know why they do all that? I'm going to tell you why they do that. Because they don't have no satisfaction inwardly.
That's right.
That's why they do it. That's why all this stuff's going on today. They don't have no inward satisfaction and they want to be seen as somebody. As somebody, they want somebody to look at them. And it's sad, but it's just the truth. But in the Christian life, it's the same way down at the church. People, I'm glad. I want to tell y'all ladies, I thank God you dress modest and you don't come in here dressed like a peacock. You know what I think about it, really? If you look at that 1 Timothy 2:9, listen, I'm going to give you the true interpretation of that verse. Women adorn themselves in modest apparel. I'm going to tell you what that whole verse means. Not with gold, broided hair and all that stuff. That ain't meaning that's a sin. He's just saying don't come in looking too rich. That's what he's saying. Don't come in here, thank God, dressed out like you come out of some catalog. Amen. There's some modesty. I mean, there's a balance both ways. But the thing of it is, I mean, I preached this for years and you church people know this. Don't let stuff like that impress you. It don't mean nothing. It's what the heart is. It's what the heart is. It ain't what you got on. It's what the heart is. I think y'all look nice. I think a wife ought to look nice for her husband. That's right. dress for her husband and look nice for her husband. Amen. If she dresses up more to go out on eat a meal than another woman, and then when her husband says, let's go out, she's got her hair all over the place, and they ain't took a bath and put no perfume on, something wrong. Amen. That's right. You say you're getting meddling. They say, no, I'm just preaching the truth. I mean, I'm just preaching about wanting to be seen. Amen. If my wife satisfies me, it don't make her matter whether she ain't anybody else, her and me and God. That's the only thing, brother. We've just got caught up, and I don't like them cliques and them groups and all these people that, you know, that you've got to believe just like they do. If you don't, they're going to cast you out.
That's right.
I say, cast me out. Cast me out. Thank God he ain't never cast me out, and he never will. Amen, buddy. I'm telling you, it ain't about that. Amen. That's right. Listen, there's a lot of people don't like some things, I believe, but it don't matter. If you're saved, thank God, you're going to love me. If you're free will or no will or whatever you are, amen. If you've got salvation, thank God, you're going to love me. Amen. That's right. You can't help but love the brother. That's just the way it is. Thank God, friend. That's right. I love you because you're my brother in Christ. And brethren, listen, that's the way it is. It ain't what you do for me. It's who you are.
Yes.
You don't go do it to be seen of men.
Right.
God have mercy.
Yes,
they'll say, there he is, Dr. So-and-so. Really? What's that mean? You know what? They asked John the Baptist one day. They said, who are you? He didn't say, well, I've got some credentials. He said, I'm a boss. That's what I am. I'm a boss. That's what he said. I meant to use the word marketing a while ago. I said merchandise, but they've marketed the church today. They market their ministry. It aggravates me. Because Jesus didn't come to build a church that was marketing to make money. Anybody that's on money all the time, that's because it's on their mind. Any preacher, and I don't care who he is, whether he's independent, fundamental, whatever, Southern Baptist, I don't care what he is. If it's about money to him, he's a false prophet. One of the main signs, listen, I'll give it to you and I'm through. Two of the main things of when Jesus sent them men out, number one was you don't ask for nothing. You take what's put before you. Any man that would go in a house and say, hey, you got some money? They say he's a false prophet. Brother Todd, if they stayed more than 3 days at a place, they was classified as a false prophet. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was, when I was born again, I was born into somewhat of this system. There's a lot of things I can't go back and change. But I'm going to tell you what, if I could, I would. And it wouldn't be the Bible or Holy Spirit beliefs. But it would be some ways things are done. Because, brother, we took the Bible and made it what we wanted to make it in these days and times. And what we've done it to get a crowd of people and to be seen of men instead of just doing it for the glory of God. And you say, what you preaching this for, preacher? I don't know. The Holy Spirit told me to, but I'm telling you this. Maybe I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to y'all. Because preachers are the worst ones to be seen of men. Singers are some of them too. I listen to singing, okay? But I would not pay a ticket to go hear a preacher or a singer.
That's right.
I'd go out there and let Lucy out of the lot, and I'd say, let's me and you go out here and walk the field. I'd rather be with a dog as has to pay for a singer or pay a ticket to hear a preacher. You say that's awful hard. No, it ain't. It's the truth. Anybody that puts a price on the gospel, it ain't for sale anyhow. The gospel ain't for sale. It's a message to tell. And it's free. And everything Jesus did, and here's the thing, they said, Lord, we want to follow you. He said, alright, if you want to follow me, I don't have nowhere to lay my head. Let the dead bury their dead and come follow me. That's what he said. If you're ever going to be a true follower, if I'm ever, listen, friend, I'm 62 years old. How old are you? 20?
22.
22, praise God, you're a little longer than I thought you was.
Oh, man.
Hey, I was going to tell you that what I got you, I got it for your birthday. April 1st is your birthday, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
April 1st.
It sure is. That's right. That's right.
He got born again April 1st.
Amen.
Thank God the Lord.
Thank you.
Boy, I says that when the brother Shank called me, I didn't want to, when you told me, I'd already heard the news, but I rejoiced again.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Shank called and said, hey, I'm going to tell you, he got a good report. We prayed, laid hands on you up there, and you know, prayed.
Right.
The brothers got together and prayed. And, but the Lord had already done it before we done that.
That's right.
That's right. He goes, oh, yeah, buddy. And they called and said, you call preacher, I won't. I tried to call you that night. I figured you probably went to bed early.
Yeah, I was asleep.
But, he said, I want to tell you something. I said, what is it? He said, I ain't got no cancer. He said, it's just a virus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. We talked about it all about it. You know what? You know why God put him through this? I'm going to tell you, I don't know all the reasons God put him through it, but I will tell you one I picked up on. You said, no matter what, whatever he wants, I'm ready.
Amen.
That's what you told me.
That's right.
Well, I prayed and I said, Lord, I ain't ready for him to move. I said, now I want him, man. Praise God, he just got saved. I mean, he's helping me. I said, you know that. Amen. God gave him a good report. Make you feel better. I know that's right. Made you feel better, didn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
Made you feel better.
Yeah.
Praise
that's
God.
Right.
That's right. Amen. You know why? Because you know God done it for you.
That's true.
Amen. God done it for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm believing God to help Michael. I'm believing God to help these people. I mean, we've seen Brother Shirley come home. Brother Shirley come home to the hospital. You don't talk about a man that never has. I don't think, Brother Shirley, as far as my heart's desire and what I felt in my life since I've known him, when he's the one that called to get me here, don't hold that against him. Amen. But when I called, when I seen Brother Shirley the other day, this is the honest truth. Honest truth. He ain't never been mad at me, and I don't think he's really mad at me. He got a little agitated with me one time. And I'm talking about one time in 32 years, and we've been together a long time. But I'm going to tell you what, I've never seen him one time ever felt like I ever thought he'd done anything to be seen of men.
Amen.
Amen. He got a little agitated with me because I went to Brother Milby's camp meeting and I left him stranded on at a store. That's the only thing he said. I said, I'm sorry, brother. He said, well, you knew we were still there. That's all he ever said. He didn't get upset. He wasn't mad, but he was agitated. That's the only thing. That's the only time. I'm talking about 32 years now. 32 years. He called me on a Tuesday night. Amen. And said, would you be willing to preach for us on Sunday in August of 1989? And since that day to now, we've seen him last night sitting in his house and looking better than I've seen him in a while. He's been like this. Been like this. He ain't never got overexcited. And he ain't never dropped out. He ain't never dropped the bottom neither. That's a good testimony. That's a good testimony. And he'll always say that we got to have prayer before you leave. Didn't do it to be seen of men. That's a blessing, ain't it? I'm going to tell you, brother, listen. Everything you do and I do ought to be from the heart for the glory of God. And I bless the Lord for it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, use the word tonight, whatever you want to do with it. I thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. I want to have prayer right here tonight. Have a word of prayer. I preached a little longer than I thought it would. I want you to pray for Michael. He's got to go Friday, Miss Pat said. And we're going to pray God and help him. Touch him or heal him. Remember him in prayer.
And remember Miss Trudy in prayer. She's at the rest home. She ain't been doing good. Remember Brother Keith in prayer.
He's coming home from Wisconsin. And that's what he's planning on doing. And whatever route he has to take to get here. And he's going to have to go to Chicago. And then they said they couldn't do it because of the weather. And they ended up in Indianapolis. And now Miss Laurie said he might go back to Chicago. But I don't know. I pray the Lord help him get out of Chicago. Amen. But remember him in prayer as he travels back. Remember Jeff Honeycutt in prayer. Talked to him last night. Had a good little stirring. Amen. He's doing good. Pray for him. Remember him in prayer. He's praying about some things. Remember Tim and Sonia in prayer. Remember Mr. Larry. Good to see him tonight. Amen. Remember in prayer these Almy Sweet. Continue to pray for Brother Shirley, Miss Jan. Pray for Brother Robert and his back. Remember Jeff Hall. Remember Miss Denise. Michaela said they're going to have some tests run on her, so remember her in prayer. Denise Bott, Miss Michaela's mother, pray for her. She's really need to pray that God would help her. And I want you to pray for complete healing. That's the prayer. Complete healing. Remember this in prayer. Pray for Bradley Eifert. He's having some sugar problems. Remember this in prayer. Remember these prayer requests tonight. Remember Mary Parker. Remember Jimmy. He's in the hospital with pneumonia in intensive care. Pray for him. Remember the Rees family, Miss Gail Rees, she passed away. She went home to be with the Lord, said she's saved. Remember her in prayer. And remember these others. Remember now on the 5th, Oscar Williams will be here preaching. Remember next week, May 30th through June the 2nd, Brother Ken Jenkins camp meeting. You would pray for us. We'd be up there. So remember that. And remember homecoming here on the 12th. And remember, it'll start at 10:30, followed by a meal. Then remember your youth camp, June 27th through the 30th. Remember these in prayer. Remember my nephew's, him and his wife, she's supposed to be having a baby. And they're going to have to induce labor in the morning. So if you would pray for them, if you would remember them in prayer. God would help them. Baker's her name, Evans, my nephew. Remember them in prayer. Anybody else got something on your heart before we pray? Anybody else before we have prayer?
Sons in the hospital with COPD. I need to pray for
them. Amen. Remember this in prayer.
My sister, Randy G. Wickerson,
says
it today. I
have
some things done, and
they're
just waiting to see if they might have to do some more depending on how this
results in
that state.
Yes, ma'am. Remember this in prayer. Anybody else?
We need to pray hard for the families, the parents that's lost the kids in Texas.
That's right. That's a terrible thing. I was burdened about that this morning when I woke up. I told Myra, I said, I've been praying for them, but I don't know them, but I asked God to help them. That's a sad thing. Remember them in prayer. God would help them. Amen.
Pray for Ashley.
She's going
to be released tomorrow.
I just put it in the hand of God. Remember that in prayer. God would help her. Remember this in prayer. The Lord to take care of that.
Your daddy has been having a CAT scan and carotid artery in the morning.
Remember daddy in prayer tomorrow. He's got to go get that CAT scan on his arteries. Pray for him. He's had some kind of some low days. So remember him in prayer, if you will. Anybody else?
There's just one man at work I've been witnessing to a good bit. His name is Corey. I wish y'all would pray for
me. Amen.
Pray with me for
you. Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right, let's pray together tonight. Let's bow in prayer. You pray with me tonight. Father, I'm grateful, God, tonight for prayer. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Lord, I rejoice.